Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am again bubbling over with joy because tonight we will continue our study in the book of Luke. And we know that this study will synopsize the life of Jesus Christ according to Luke the physician. It will also present his allegory of the Son of God and give to us an account-by-account description of the events concerning Jesus' beginnings to his end of life as we know it. And we will also look at the characteristics of Christianity as presented in the book by Luke. Now, I want you to all know that the lessons and instructions that are taken tonight are from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask your questions or comments or inquire if you'd like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally, as I always do, take this time to thank those of you who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you have been giving me, I am using. Thank you, my precious brothers and sisters. Now, as the theme song for the show always suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King Solomon, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Psalms 15, verse 5. So the promise is that you will never be moved if you follow God's commandments, more especially that you don't put out your money for usury or take reward against the innocent. Jesus said, and I will set you up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23. Now the promise is that God will be your shepherd, that he will feed you, and he will give you what you need as long as you follow his commandments. God said through King David, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalms 119, verse 130. So again, the promise is the words of God will be your light and give you understanding if you follow them. So the question for this hour is again, are you standing on God's promises? Before we get started now, I want you all to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Now, let's get to the study. We're going to be looking at instruction number 36 out of 84 instructions that I have collected for this series of study. Now, we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 39, verse 52. The book of Luke, chapter 39, verse 52. This is the text that we're going to be taking the instruction from. Now, this instruction, I want you to pay attention to this, my brothers and sisters. Don't be like the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. That's the instruction I want you to take from the reading of the text. Don't be like the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. And this is what Luke chapter 11, verse 39 through 52 says. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Remember, Jesus told us it's the inside of a man that defiles the man, not the outside. Verse 40 says, ye fools, do not that made that which is without make that which is within also, God making both, but rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, and ye that tithe mint and rue and all manners of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to have left the others undone. Now remember, we are to do all of God's commandments, but there are some commandments that are more significant than others. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Jesus is telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they have problems with their behavior. Now, verse 45 says, then answered one of the lawyers, the scribes, and said unto him, Master, thus sayest thou, reproachest us also? And Jesus said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, meaning ye scribes. Ye lay men with burdens grievous to bear, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with your own fingers. Remember that old saying, do as I say and not as I do? That is what Jesus is focusing on. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers kill them. Again, Jesus is telling the scribes that they have made monuments to those who were actually killers of the prophets. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the keys of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hinder. So Jesus gave this indication of what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers were doing that was not according to the word of God. Now what we want to do is go to the Old Testament. We want to go to our complement, and we want to see what the complement has to say about this, pointing to the New Testament descriptions that Jesus gave. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, and this is what the prophet Jeremiah says that gives us an inference of the same. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. Now remember, in the book of Revelations, Jesus will come on the clouds, and John the Revelator says that every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him will see him. And verse 14 says this, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? So Jeremiah is giving a generalized statement that Jesus, when he talks to the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, to don't be like them, meaning that they were not regarding the laws of God. Now, this is what the spiritual meaning of this instruction should mean to us in our lives. That we must be alert to what the Bible says for us to do, and not what some preachers or teachers or even pastors say to do that is not biblical. God helps those who helps themselves, or God help the child that has his own. Those are sayings that you hear sometimes from the pulpit. These are not biblical, and they shouldn't be regarded as such. Okay, now let us go to the next instruction number 37. And we're going to go back to Luke chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. We're going to be reading Luke chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. And what we're going to draw from this instruction is this: beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. This is what I want you to focus on as we read Luke chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. 1 through 3, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And this is what the text says. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, and Jesus began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. After the break, we'll continue.
Let me speak to that person that feels like they lost their worth or their value. This is a dollar bill. Now, if I go to the store and there's something for 90 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, if I go to the store and there's something for 85 cents and after tax, it ends up being 96 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, what if I ball the dollar bill up? Think about it now. Like, I just balled the dollar bill up. Like, so it can't be worth a dollar now. It's probably worth like 95 cents, right? How much do you think it's worth? A dollar. Listen, y'all gotta pay attention. I just balled it up. So clearly it's not worth a dollar anymore. All right, so maybe, what if I step on it? What if I stomp it? I just stomped it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 65 cents, 68 cents? It's still worth a dollar? Okay, what if I ball it up, what if I stomp on it, and then I put it in the trash can, and it's in here with some trash, and it's around some beer and some gum and a bunch of other nasty stuff, and some guy off the street pulls the dollar out, unfolds it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 82 cents? At least 92 cents? It's okay, all right, so what if I ball it up, what if I step on it, what if I put it in trash, and then, watch this, I tear it in half. Think about it now, right? How much is it worth now? A dollar? I could tape it? Wait.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my brothers and sisters, we're continuing with this instruction. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And we already read what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 about it. Now what we're going to do is go to our compliment, Hosea chapter 7, verse 1, and see how this prophet identifies or at least refers to the same. Hosea chapter 7, verse 1, and this is what the prophet says. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim, that means the leaven of Ephraim, was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, again, the leaven of Samaria, for they committed falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of the robbers spoiled without. So we can see that the prophet is telling Israel at the time to be aware of these falsehoods. And this is what Jesus was telling his apostles and disciples about the Pharisees. Now, what this should mean spiritually in our lives is this, that we must be aware of worldliness, which is not godliness, and fall trap to the wiles of evil, meaning everybody is doing it, so maybe it's all right. We got to make sure that we don't follow the leader, except if the leader is being led by God Almighty. That's the instruction I'm trying to get to you tonight with that reading. Now let's go to instruction number 38, back to Luke chapter 12. We're going to be reading verse 4 through 7. Luke chapter 12, we're going to be reading verse 4 through 7. And this is the instruction that we want to take from the reading of the text. Be not afraid of him who can only kill the body. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Be not afraid of him who can only kill the body. And this is what Jesus said about that in Luke chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do, but I will forewarn you who ye shall fear. Fear him which hath he who had killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. What Jesus is saying is that God is the one that we should fear, and not man. And this is what the compliment tells us about that. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. And this is what Moses told Israel about the same thing. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. And this is what it says. Verse 29 of 32. And this is what it says. And I will get there in a minute. Verse, it says, 32, verse 29 says this. I am at it right now. Verse 32:39. See now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. So you can see what Moses was telling Israel, that it is God whom you should fear more than man. Now, this is what you should get from this instruction spiritually to follow in your lives, that we should measure our wealth in God in the amount of gifts and fruits that we receive, not money or possessions of the world. That this is the correct instruction. I read it wrong. I apologize. This is what the instruction should mean, that we must realize that the flesh is incidental to the spirit. It is the spirit that gives life to the flesh. So who controls the spirit is the one that we should be afraid of. That is what I'm trying to share with you out of this instruction. Okay, let's go to instruction number 39. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Through 21, Luke chapter 12, verse 15 through 21. That is the instruction, or the text we're going to read. The instruction is, beware if you lay up treasures for yourself and not be rich before God. Okay, my brothers and sisters, beware if you lay up treasures for yourself and not be rich before God. And this is what Luke chapter 12, verse 15 tells us about that. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man put forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And that, my brothers and sisters, is telling us with the conclusion of the next verse, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. So that is a good example of what we should beware of, that we should be doing what God tells us to do rather than what we think we should be doing ourselves. Now we're going to go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to see what Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12 says about this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12 is going to give us this understanding, and after the break we'll complete it.
I don't know whose prayer I'm breaking into, but I'm breaking into somebody's prayer saying, Lord, why do I keep going do the same things over and over again? I go to church now, I tithe now, I shout now, I leap now, and the Lord sent me here to tell you it's no problem with your sentence, the problem is with your default. Until you change your default, you will always go back to being who you were before, because you have never changed your mind. The devil can't do just anything to you. People can't do just anything to you. Life can't do just anything to you. I don't care how little you are. There is nothing as powerful as a change. Lock somebody and tell them, I changed my mind. As long as you're programmed with what you can't do and what you can't be and what you can't have, you will never get up. But I dare you to go into your phone booth like Clark Kent and spin around and come out Superman and say, wait a minute, I'm better than this. I'm getting ready to change my default setting. I will not die crackhead. I will not let you abuse me. I will not stay. There is nothing as powerful. The prodigal son was in the hog pen, surrounded by the swine, about to eat that the pigs ate. And all of a sudden, the Bible said he came to himself. He didn't change his clothes. He didn't change anything else. All he did was change his mind. The pigs couldn't hold him. The pen couldn't hold him. The disgrace couldn't hold him. The embarrassment couldn't hold him. I dare you to change your...
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the instruction, beware if you lay up treasures for yourselves and not be rich towards God. This is what the Old Testament complement says about what we just read in Luke chapter 12, verse 15 through 21. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. This is what it says. This is how it's connected. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, listen, my brothers and sisters, then be aware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So what Moses is telling Israel, that because God has given you all of this extra, remember, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the rest will be added unto you, that we must not forget to continue to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, although we are accumulating things that are added to us in this world. And this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should measure our wealth in God in the amounts of gifts and fruits we receive, not money and possessions of the world. The gifts and fruits of God, Jesus said, hereby is my Father glorified, that we bear much fruits and gifts, so shall we be his disciples. And that is key, that we look at the wisdom and knowledge and faith, that we look at the love and joy and peace of God as our wealth, and not the lands or the money or the jobs or the property that we own. So that is what we're saying, or that's the instruction that I want you to understand that we should take from this instruction. Now, we're going to go to instruction number 40. We're going to go back to Luke, and we're going to be reading Luke chapter 12, and we're going to be reading verse 22 through 31. Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 31. And this is what we're going to take from the reading of this text. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. That is what we're going to look at as we listen or read the text. Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 31. And this is what it says. And Jesus said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment to God. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than fowls? Remember in the beginning, God created man and gave him dominion and said, overcome and subdue all of these other things. Verse 25 says, and which one of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Now that is key. If you think about it, can you add it to yourself? 26 says, if then ye be not able to do that thing which is least, meaning think about it and add it to yourself, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil and they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Faith is key, my brothers. That's the measure that you should be looking at when you're dealing with God. Remember, it's impossible to please him without it. That's what Paul taught. Now, verse 29 concludes, and seek not ye what ye shall drink, or seek not ye what ye shall eat, neither ye be doubtful of mine. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, And the Father knoweth that ye have need of these. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is key. Seek ye the kingdom of God first, and then the rest will be added unto you. Now let us look at our complement. Go to the Old Testament. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. And this is what Moses told Israel concerning the same. Remember, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all the things will be added unto you. This is what Moses told Israel. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Remember what Jesus gave us in his instructions. He said, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and ye shall receive. And he that seeks will find. He that knocks shall it be opened to them. And they that ask shall receive. But remember, we must ask correctly. And this is the key. Verse 30 says, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he swore unto thee. In fact, again, going back into the book of Genesis, where God created man, and he gave him dominion over all these other things. So we need to know that seeking the kingdom of God is first, and the rest he will add to us what we need. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. So we must have the faith to achieve this. If we don't believe, we can't achieve. That, again, is the critical element in all of this. We must believe in order to achieve. God says it's impossible, or it is written in the Bible, it is impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we know again that the Hebrew writer says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So this is critical, faith. And that's what I want you to understand as we go into the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 41, and we're going to go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 37 through 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 37 through 48. And this is what we're going to draw from the instruction that we're going to read in the text. Blessed is the servant whom the Lord will find him doing when he returns for him. That is almost a culmination of all of what we've studied so far tonight. There is a blessing for us if when the Lord comes back for us, he finds us doing, like seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, like looking unto the riches of God and then continuing after the breath.
There are two types of Christians. There are those who think following God means we're immune to bad things. They have a perception that being a Christian isolates us from trouble. Then there are others who accept that the Word of God tells us that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In fact, it tells us that if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Jesus first. And these type of Christians take heed of His Word and accept that difficulties and trouble will come, but at least they will face them with God. There are other Christians who look at a storm and say, God, make it stop. Make it go away. God, I don't like the rain. I don't like the pain. Then there are others who look at the same storm and say, order my steps, Lord. As I go through this storm, help me to grow. Help me to grow through this storm as I go through it. Some Christians pray and say, God, this is too hard. For others, they pray and say, God, give me the strength to bear this. Some will pray and say, Lord, I can't take much more of this. I can't withstand. Others will pray for supernatural powers to endure. One man will say, Why me? But I can't do that. I don't have what it takes to. But another man will say, not my will, God, but your will. There are Christians that are halfway believers. They believe in God. They know the story of Jesus, but they don't walk with any power. But we are called to be Christians who believe in God, called to have a relationship with Jesus, and called to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be a Christian who says, even though I'm scared, even though I don't know how everything will turn out, if you send me and if you're with me, I'll go. Be a Christian who will take on anything, knowing that God will get the glory. Just look at Paul. He was no stranger to difficulties and suffering. He is a man who was cast in prison, faced with the real possibility of death many times. He was beaten, shipwrecked, and in many uncomfortable situations. But he still said in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. When God goes with you, you don't need all the answers. You don't need a blueprint. It may not be picture perfect, but I would rather do the will of God or have God on my side than be comfortable. Be a Christian with spiritual maturity. Be a Christian who lets God lead. Be a believer that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers, here we go. Let us continue with instruction number 41. Blessed is the servant whom the Lord will find him doing when he returns for him. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 12, verse 37 through 48, and this is what it says. That was the instruction, and this is what it says. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make him to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve him. So one of the keys to the blessing is watching. Remember, Jesus says, watch and pray always. 38 says, and if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. That tells us that our callings are different, and so Jesus may return for you at a different time than he returns for me. The point is that we are supposed to continue to do as the law tells us to do until he comes back for us. Verse 39 says, and this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And so that tells us that we need to continually practice the basic instructions before leaving earth, regardless of what anyone else is doing around us, until we receive our reward. And that's when the Master returns for us, and the blessing will be the glory of God. Now, this is what verse 41 says. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And this is for all. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of the servant, when he comes in a day when he looketh not for him, and at that hour when he comes, he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. That is key, my brothers and sisters, that we must continue. We must remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding, as Paul taught Timothy and the rest of the churches that he went into, that we must make sure that we're not caught lacking. when the Lord comes for us. That, like we just went over about the rich barn, the rich farmer that built the barn. That night, God said, "You fool, your soul is required of you right now." So we have to make sure that we don't relax the laws of God. We continue to work them. And this is what verse 47 says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." But here is something that we can take mercy in. "But he that knoweth not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask of the more." So I am come. Now that is key to what we should understand, that even if we are not faithful to the extent that is required, we will be addressed according to God. Remember, God said, "I will be merciful unto whom I will be merciful, and I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious." So that is a reprieve that we get in this reading. That's one reason I went through the extensive reading process during this instruction, because there's so much value in what Jesus said to his apostles and disciples. Now what we want to do is go to the Old Testament. We want to go to our complement, and we're going to see what was said in the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 10 through 12, that relates to this. Job chapter 42, verse 10 through 12, and this is what it says. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before, because Job remained faithful." That was his blessing that he got when the Lord returned for him. "Then came there unto him all of his brethren and his sisters and all that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning." And that is key, because Job listened and did what the Lord, he was prepared when the Lord returned for him, doing what he was supposed to be doing. So this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that if you are receiving, you must be performing and remain steadfast in your performance until your end. You cannot be looking at anyone else but Jesus Christ and what is being taught in basic instructions before leaving earth to be up to date, to satisfy the God that's in you and your calling. So that's the instruction you should be receiving from this spiritually. Now we're going to go to instruction number 42, back to Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, and we're going to be reading verse 49 through 56. And this is what we're going to take from the reading of the text. This is the instruction. "There will not be peace on earth, but turmoil." That's the instruction we are looking at. Jesus said this, and we'll get more of it as we read the text. But this is what we should be focused on. "There will not be peace on earth, but turmoil." And this is what Luke chapter 12, verse 49 through 56 says about that. Jesus is speaking. He said, "I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" Meaning Jesus was going to be baptized on the cross in his own blood. That's what that means. Verse 51 says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided, three against two and two against three. The father will be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And he said also unto the people, he said, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat. And it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that ye do not discern this time? And that is key. Because Jesus, the Israelites were looking for a Messiah. And they would not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. He is telling them about that now, that they can recognize physical things, but they can't recognize spiritual things. And that is the key. And what we need to understand is because of that non-recognition, that there is a war, the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And that is a disagreement. The Jews against the Christians against the Jews. And we know why, because the Jews have not recognized Jesus as the Son of God, and we recognize Jesus as the Son of God. So see, there's going to be turmoil, or there's going to be disruption in our lives because of that. Now what we want to do is go to the Old Testament copy, and after the break, we'll continue.
Each of us has only one path, but there are many futures. You see, you can't change your past, but you can determine your destiny by deciding for Christ. And when you do that, Christ changes your past. He wipes out all the sins of the past. Because you see, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. When he died on that cross, he forgave all the past. You tonight are reminded of the many sins in your life. The Holy Spirit's bringing them to your mind right now. And you know they stand against you at the judgment where every secret thing will be brought out. But Jesus tonight offers forgiveness. But he offers more than forgiveness. He offers justification. Just as though you had never committed a sin. What a wonderful thing to go to bed tonight and know that the past is gone. Forgiven, cleansed, and God no longer remembers your sins. Yes, and this choice is very urgent. To delay makes the right decision harder. Indecision is itself a choice. Not to decide is to decide not to. Choose now. Nowhere in the Bible does it promise a tomorrow. Come while you can. Time itself makes the decision for you if you don't. You say, but what do I have to do? Three things. You must be willing to repent of your sin. That means to change your way of thinking about your sins and realize how bad they are in the sight of God. Change your way you're thinking about God and say, I love him and I'm going to love him with all my heart, mind, and soul. I'm going to make him the priority of my life. I'm going to put him first from now on. He's going to be not only my Savior, but my Lord. You may be a member of the church. You may not be a member of any church. You may be an officer in the church, but you're not sure about your relationship with Christ, and you want to be sure. And you must be willing to repent. And secondly, by faith, receive Christ into your heart. That means you put your whole weight on him and trust him and him alone. And thirdly, you follow and serve him as his disciple and follower and obey him. That means a big change for many of you if you make this choice. I'm going to ask you to make it now.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my brothers and sisters, here we go. We're on instruction number 42. There will not be peace on earth, but turmoil. And this is what the Old Testament has to say about it. The prophet Isaiah, we're going to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, verse 21. And this is where it begins. And this is Isaiah speaking, and he's prophesying, and he says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So that is telling us, if you are conflicting with God, if you're not receiving his son, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, then you are lacking in your discretion. And you could, as Isaiah identified it, as being wicked. In the Old Testament, they used those stern words like that to denounce, you know, those who were not obeying God's law. Now, turn your page to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, and this is more of what Isaiah says concerning that. Isaiah says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." So again, if you're not obeying what God has said, in this instance, that Jesus Christ is his son, then you are falling short of his glory. And then verse 8 concludes. Verse 8 says, "In this position that you're in, the way of peace, you will know not. And there is no judgment in their goings." What you're doing is going to be hampering. "They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." So you will not know peace if you are not responding to the ways of God. And we're talking about Christians. And even though we know that there are other practices out there that gives us the appearance. Now, remember what Solomon warned us in Proverbs chapter, in one of his Proverbs. He says, "There is a way of a man that seems right, but it only leads to death." And so peace taken away from what you're doing is part of the process of that death. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that because of the knowledge of good and evil, this is so significant. No peace can be found on earth. Because of the knowledge of good and evil, no peace can be found on earth. And that is what we're all subjected to. No one is not. And because of the knowledge of everlasting life, which is Jesus Christ, there is turmoil until the end of time. So there is going to be problems. And we know that if you're not following the basic instructions before leaving earth, you're going to have more problems than those who even do follow it. Because we know that no one is perfect this side of eternity, but we have to be steadfast. We have to continually fight the good fight of faith, and that is by repentance and faithfulness that we continue to work out our own soul salvations. All right, so that is the conclusion of tonight's instructions, and what I'd like to do is give you an update, or not an update, but refer back to a drill that I mentioned to you the last two times we met, the enemies of mankind, and we went through that. So we understand that sin being the number one enemy, and we, of course, know that this is what happened to sin to remove it from being the number one enemy, that Jesus Christ came and he died for us on Mount Calvary, and he removed it. Now, Psalms 85, verse 2 says, "Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of the people." So the psalmist was already under inspiration to realize, King David was already under inspiration to realize that a Messiah would come and take care of the iniquity of the people. And then Revelations chapter 1, verse 5 tells us this, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." There it is. Jesus has declared it. In the book of Revelations, we understand that in the Gospel of John, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe it in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus just now declared that he loved us so much that he washed us from our sins in his own blood. So sin has been removed. So what are we looking at now as the number one enemy of mankind? I submit to you the knowledge of good and evil, and the evil workings of the flesh and spirit. They are number one in our lives that keeps us corrupted. And this is why in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says, but of the tree of life, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That is what caused us, and that's what's causing us our calamity today in our lives. It's the knowledge of good and evil. And 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 also says, be not deceived. That's telling us that this is the case. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And the knowledge of the tree of good and evil is that evil communication that Adam and Eve fell for and has subjected us to for the rest of our lives. Now, in consonance with this knowledge of good and evil is the evil workings of the flesh and spirit. Those two have turned into the number one enemy of mankind. And we know that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, this is what Solomon said about that. He said, for God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we know that sin has been forgiven, but the workings of sin is what we're held accountable to. And that is what Solomon just identified. And of course, in the book of Revelations, chapter 20, verse 12 tells us this. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that one of those books, the book of life being one of those other books was the book of works. And that is the book of the workings of sin. Now, we know that the Bible's in code. So to break that down is, I don't have the time at this setting to give you all the particular details, but the works is what gets us in trouble. And the works come out of that knowledge of good and evil. Now, the fourth enemy is the curses of the Garden of Eden. And we understand that in the Garden of Eden, there were curses that were put upon the devil, upon woman, and upon man. Now, this is in addition to the knowledge of good and evil and the evil workings of the flesh and spirit. And I'll tell you as we are reading these that even the devil has been subjected to these first four, because this is what Genesis says in chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. And the Lord God said unto the serpent that he would be cursed, and on his belly would he reside for the rest of his life. And unto the woman he said that she would have pain endurably. And unto Adam he said that we would...
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
And as we say goodnight to all of our listeners out there, please remember this, what Jesus said. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.